Good afternoon and Happy New Year. This is Beth Claxton of Self-Care MD, leading our conference call on maintaining balance while working night shift. And I'm so excited to see that you have all reached out when you saw the flyer because you knew that something wasn't right and you wanted to take care of yourself. And so you reached out to join this conference call. I've been in OBGYN 22 years, every other night to every fifth night. And we had a residency rotation that was called the mole shift, where we would work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night for about 14 hours, and then we would get to go home and sleep. On Friday mornings after the Thursday shift, we would have to do a laparoscopy rotation. But we had every weekend off, and I was so excited for that rotation because it seemed like there was going to be so much time. But I was absolutely dysfunctional the entire rotation. I had no energy on the weekend. I realized now that I was eating my biggest meal at midnight. I was drinking coffee for breakfast right when I went in. And that rotation really made an impact on me, on how hard it really is to for our bodies to do this. And then when I started working, if I had a difficult call night, because we do 24-hour shifts, it would take me at least a week to recover from a really demanding call night, one where I was up and busy and really engaged. At that point in my life, I was drinking alcohol, coffee in the morning throughout the day. I didn't have a exercise schedule. Dinners were late. I was staying up late. No set routine. No bedtime, really. No wake-up time. I was just getting myself to work on time because that is what I thought was all that really mattered. And my work schedule was running me. So about 6 years ago, I really noticed that things were off in my body, in my emotional life. I was feeling fatigued all the time. After I had a long 12-hour clinic day, my back would hurt, and it took a while, but I realized that it was my adrenals right around my kidney area would just start to ache. And my life became gauged around whether I could sleep on call or not. Like, that was all that really mattered, was did I get sleep when I was on call? And it was the only way that I thought I could survive, was if I got sleep. I lost almost all my motivation. I lost all my compassion. And in 2013, I was diagnosed with an ovarian tumor. And one day after I had surgery for that, I got a fever, I got a sinus infection, probably from being in the hospital and under anesthesia, because I never get those. I had to go on antibiotics because I had to go back to work. I looked in the mirror, and I looked horrible, and this voice said to me, or I said to myself, it's not going to get any better than this. Like, you're in your late 40s. You're not going to be young again. And it was really shocking and depressing. And that afternoon, I went to pick up my daughters at their ballet class, and a friend asked me if I was going to do the detox that they were offering as a group at the yoga studio. And I said, yes, I am. Tell me about it. I didn't know anything about it, but I knew that I needed something. And since that point, I've learned so much about how to be gentle with myself, how to eat differently, how to follow the rhythms of the planet. And now I know what I need to do to feel well. And if I lose a night's sleep, if I have a demanding call night, I can bounce back pretty quickly. I think, like, in a with a good night's sleep, I'm back on track. And I wanted to share this with all of you because I can see that the medical community is making poor decisions about their health. And these are, they're not, they don't even know that they're making these decisions. But knowing what I know and observing people, it's not a healthy industry to work in. And I know that it can be fun to be at work. And I know that work doesn't need to rule your life. So I've worked with physicians, midwives, nurses, and a hospital administrator with this program that I'm training in. And I wanted to share these things with you too. And the way I see it is only when we can really take care of ourselves can we even hope to take good care of patients and be the role model of health that they need. So everyone knows that it's rough working night shift. And as it's defined in the literature online, about 29% of the American workforce works in shifts. And a shift work is working more than three nights per month. And we all work probably more than three nights per month. And we get more pay because of it. And we think we have the lifestyles that we want because it can open up the day for us if we have children and things like this. But do we know the risks that we are taking with our health? So what I'd like for you to do right now is if you have a piece of paper and a pen, I sent out an email this afternoon asking you to have these, but it's okay if you didn't get it. You can grab an envelope and a pen or just think about it if you don't have anything. I'd like for you to feel into your body and think about some things, some of the ways your body feels from working night shift. And just write these things down. And I'd love to hear what you've come up with. So we have, there are four of you on the line, and you're welcome just to speak up. I don't think we need to have hands raised. And when you start to talk, please say your name.
My name is Catherine, and I work in night shift. I've noticed that I have a lot more mood swings and get a lot more, I'm very emotional because my sleep cycle's off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are the big things that you're seeing, right, Catherine?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. This is Andrea, and I agree with Catherine. I feel like emotionally drained, tired all the time, and I've seemed to gain a lot more weight working on nights as well.
Mhm. Mhm. Great. Thank you for sharing. So I'd like to have you raise your hand. So this is the function where you push 5 and the star. I'm going to take a poll. How many of you have been working nights for 10 years or more? Push 5, then star. And for 5 years or more, and for 2 years or more, and 1 year or more. Okay. It's a pretty young group, which is good news. So I researched some facts about shift work, and they're pretty startling. So working shift work will increase. There is an increase in obesity, secondary to decreased metabolism at night. There's an increase in type 2 diabetes. There's an increase in heart disease and hypertension, an increase in GI disorders, diarrhea, constipation, ulcers, reflux disease, an increase in depression and mood disorders, an increase in sleep disorders, increase in accidents and injuries, increase in back pain. One study looked at women working nights, and they had, if they had been working nights for more than 5 years, they had an 11% increase from death of all causes. Cardiovascular death in both sexes increased by 19%, and lung cancer increased 25% if you're working night shift more than 15 years. There's been a link with increases in breast cancer and other types of cancers secondary to melatonin disturbances. And the International Agency on Research for Cancer says that shift work is carcinogenic to humans. And we need to, there needs to be someone who works, right? Someone needs to take care of the patient in the middle of the night. I do have an issue with stores staying open all night just for convenience sake, because it is so unhealthy. And for those of us who do need to take care of people who are sick, what can we do? So what I'd like for you to do right now is take your piece of paper and pen or a journal, and I'd like for you to write down like 5 things that you would need to do today to make sure that you felt really lousy tomorrow. So, Catherine, if you want to say something, just push 5-star. I'm happy to unmute you. I just muted you for the background noise. So let's talk about what we can do today to feel really whole. Does anyone have any ideas? I have one. I can throw one out. What if we went tonight and like pretty late, and we ate a bunch of pizza and drank some beer, and we didn't drink much water and just got really exhausted and fell asleep late, like watched a movie even? Does anyone have anything to add to that?
And then only sleep for a couple of hours.
Great. That's right. Have to get up early. Awesome. And what if we were stressed? Let's throw some stress in there. We were worried about something happening, or we were worried about our job. And then we could also, like, wake up and maybe have cold pizza for breakfast and maybe not drink any water and maybe get constipated. And then, gosh, we're feeling so bad. How about we drink some coffee? You could pour some coffee in. And then, you know, you're at Dunkin' Donuts picking up coffee, so why not have a donut? So are you getting the picture of all the things we do that can really make us feel gross? So now think about how you want to feel, and this is really important. We're going to take a few minutes to really sink into this and really feel into this. And write down, just see if you can just keep writing. How do you want to feel? We'll have about 3 minutes. Just keep the pen touching the paper. And if you can't think of anything to write, just have the pen draw circles on the paper. Okay, you're probably getting a nice idea of how you want to feel. And now, with this wisdom that you have engaged by writing and reflecting, write down at least one thing that you could do to help you feel this way. And it can be anything. It can be something tiny, drink more water. It can be something big, lose 15 pounds, lose 50 pounds, not eat sugar, exercise more, give up caffeine, anything. Just write at least one thing down. Okay, the floor is open for sharing. I would love to hear what you guys came up with.
I want to learn how to meditate. I think that would help me, maybe.
Yeah, and who is this?
Catherine, sorry.
Oh, it's Catherine? Okay, it had, oh, yeah. I think meditation is probably one of the best things for our bodies and our stress levels. Great. Anyone else? Anything else, Catherine?
Just try to exercise and eat healthy first.
Yeah. And some more exercise. And that's been a really hard one for me. It took a lot to get me into an exercise routine. So I know it's really hard, especially when your world is upside down, working nights. Thank you. Anyone else?
This is Andrea. I would like to try to eat healthier and stick with it.
And what?
And actually stick with eating healthier.
Uh-huh.
I try to eat healthier and then go back to eating unhealthy.
So what does healthy eating look like to you, Andrea?
Eating more fruits and vegetables and salads and not eating out as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
Eating out at fast food restaurants.
Yeah.
So cooking more.
It's so easy, isn't it?
Yes.
And it tastes so good.
It does.
Yeah. So have you ever tried to stop eating at the fast food restaurants?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happens?
But then it's just more convenient than actually cooking.
Mhm.
Especially working nights and waking up and feeling exhausted.
Mhm. Yeah, do you think the fast food is helping you or hurting you? As far as
hurting
the exhaustion. Yeah. But it's so easy. So there are real reasons that we have problems with changing our habits. And my coach gave a talk yesterday, and I'm going to go over some of the things that she was talking about. The first one is that we have goals. We want to stop eating at fast food restaurants. We want to meditate, and these are great. So what's the difference between a goal and habit. So a habit is actually something that you can do. A goal can be kind of lofty. It's almost has a distance, and it's maybe even set up high at an unattainable place on a pillar where you can see it and wish for it and hope for it, but it's really hard to grasp. And in habits, with habits, we can create changes by changing our habits. And they can be really, really small changes. And we'll talk about this in just a little bit. The other thing that's really important with habit change and changing, making these goals and resolutions, we really need peer support. There was one study that looked at success with habit change, and they found that you're 7 times more likely to succeed if you have a group supporting you. There's also what happens in investing in ourselves. It's hard to invest in ourselves. It's hard to stand up for ourselves. It's hard to do what for ourselves what we know we need to do, because we're getting pulled in all these different directions. Right now, medicine tends to reward people who sacrifice themselves for their job. I don't know about other industries, but I think it's probably the same. People are rewarded for staying late at work, for working on the weekends. And is this really what we want to support? Warren Buffett, one of the wealthiest men in the world, has a famous quote. He says that your number one investment, the best investment you could make, is to invest in yourself, because we are our own best commodities. The next thing that we need to look at is guidance. Would Andrea, do you think it would be a little more helpful if you had some guidance helping you with your eating habits?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So there are coaches out there. There are people that make this guidance possible. And that's something that I'm training in. Another reason that it's difficult to change these habits is we haven't made it a game. It's not fun. We're looking at it like, oh, McDonald's tastes so good, and it would just be so easy to go there. But is there a way to make it a game, or to work with the meditation and have fun with it? So the course that I teach is about habit change. And a lot of you at FNC know about the Kaizen method, because the hospital is asking the nurses to come up with Kaizen points that they can do to help the hospital save money. Is this right?
Yes.
Yeah. So using this at a personal level, we can affect change within ourselves. So reading, studying neuroscience behind habit change, if we try to do too much change all at once, the brain goes into panic mode. It goes into the primitive brain. There is stress that happens, and it's a failure. So what we need to do is bypass the primitive brain with these Kaizen methods. just something tiny, tiny, really easy that you think of yourself, or you can work on with your group or with a coach. And what is one thing that I can do towards that goal that I want? And then over time, you take one baby step and then you feel comfortable in that, and another baby step and you feel comfortable in that. And sometimes there's a step back that happens, but overall, there's steps forward, there's consciousness, there's awareness, and you turn around and you're changing, and things are really happening. So let's think about meditation. What's one thing that you could do, Catherine, to help yourself become a meditator?
I could try to just sit for 5 minutes every day.
Yeah, absolutely. So find the time of day. See how does that feel inside your body right now? Does that feel doable, or does that feel like, is your body kind of scared?
Well, I tried to do it in the past, and it's been hard to, just sit there, and, I get frustrated because I don't think I'm doing it right. So then I quit, and then I say, well, I'll get some books about it, or I'll go to a class on it, and then I don't do it. And so I've been talking about meditating for a couple of years now, but I haven't really made any progress.
So what are some things? Could you get a guided CD, a guided meditation CD?
Yeah, I have one. I just haven't done it.
You haven't sat down with it? Yeah, so what's a little thing that you could do to help you reach this goal?
I just need to do it. I just need to try to do the guided meditation.
Maybe make
a game out of it. Like, if I do it, then I can reward myself with something else.
That is fabulous. That's another neuroscience trick, because when we reward ourselves, our brain secretes dopamine, and it gives us a really good feeling. And that is another way to help have a change happen. I'm so glad you brought that up. So another thing that you could do is, what if you say you were going to meditate in the morning, and you got your recording and you got it all out, just like you were going to use it in the morning, and you had your little play set up before you went to bed, and all you had to do was get up in the morning, brush your teeth, sit on the potty, and sit down and meditate? You think it would be easier?
Yeah, I think I could do that, and I could tell myself that I can't get on Facebook until after I've meditated.
Oh, that's good. And then you can get on Facebook if you do.
Yeah, that's my reward.
Nice. That's good. How does that feel?
I think it feels exciting, like I have a plan.
Awesome. Yeah, good for you. Yeah, exactly. So let's, can I pick on you, Andrea, now?
Yeah.
So what is something that you can do to help yourself make better choices with food?
Have them accessible, so go to the grocery store more often and get healthier food.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can have them so that I can have food here instead of getting up and going to get something.
I have a suggestion. And this is another thing that took me forever to do. Have you ever made a meal plan?
No, I haven't.
it saves so much money and time. And it's one of the, I had to reward myself by buying myself chocolate at the grocery store. So if I went to the grocery store and I didn't have my meal plan made, I wouldn't get any chocolate. And if I did have my meal plan, I could buy some chocolate when I went to the grocery store. And it probably took about once or twice of not getting chocolate that I started making a meal plan. And I just put the days of the week down the left side and the breakfast, lunch, dinner across the top. And you just sort of scribble in, like, some days it's like the same thing. Like, I have cooked apples in the morning, apples, apples, apples. I just write it down. And then lunch, what am I going to do? And I'm going to make this soup for breakfast. Now I can take that for lunch tomorrow, you know, the next day. Just get it all filled in. And then at the bottom, I just scribble out a grocery list. Because looking at it, you know what you need. If you're going to make any new recipes, you just make a copy. Or just take a peek at the book and write down what you need. And that way, I only have to go to the grocery store once a week. And it's fantastic. So how does that sound? Does that sound possible?
Yeah, it does. It seems like that would be easier than going more than once a week or just being lazy and not going at all.
Mm-hmm. And you can... there are charts that you could get online, but it's really easy. I actually have scratch paper that has stuff written on one side. The other side is blank. I just scribble out a meal plan, and if I'm stuck in the car and I don't have a sheet of paper, I'll put it on the back of an envelope or something. Just, okay. And it's done. And that might be something, that might be pretty huge. But I'd love to know. I really want to know how this goes for you guys.
If you want to make a biscuit,
so there's some other things that I'd like to talk about.
I've never done that before.
And these are tips from Ayurvedic medicine. So Ayurvedic medicine is 500 years old. No. Add an extra zero. It's 5,000 years old. And what it focuses on the planetary rhythm. And we seeing ourselves as merely an organism, a creature, an animal on the planet. And if you notice, there are lots of deer and flagstaff, the birds. Notice how the wildlife responds to the day. The birds start chirping at a certain time, right when the sun's coming up. The deer walk through my backyard at the same time every day. The skunks come out at the same time in the evening. And then we have all these lovely modern conveniences and light and heating and TVs and cell phones, and we don't have a schedule. And maybe what we really need is to fall more in line with what the earth is doing, what the sun is doing, what the moon is doing, and letting our bodies fall into a rhythm. So nighttime is seen in Ayurvedic medicine as the time for the body to repair and restore itself. And the articles that I was reading about weight gain and type 2 diabetes and the propensity for obesity in people working night shifts, they say the circadian rhythms are off. And really, this time of night, particularly from 10 to 2 a.m., is when the body focuses on completely digesting all the food that's there, eliminating, getting ready to eliminate all the junk that it wants to get rid of, all the waste that it has inside. And if you're up working or partying or eating meals, it just can't do this. And so then what happens when something doesn't get cleaned out very well it just gets more junk built up in it, and then it starts to break or become diseased. So in Ayurvedic medicine, the emphasis is on digestion. It's one of the main focuses is how you digest your food. And it also looks very strongly at the emotional component of what's happening in your life and what emotions you're digesting and how you're digesting your food and if you're digesting your food while being angry or sad or upset or stressed. This isn't a healthy way to digest the food. So what we take in on the night shift especially needs to be as nurturing as possible. And when you're working at night, you have to eat. You sleep all day. You might have something before you go in. You might have something when you get home. But really, you're working a 12-hour shift, so we have to eat. So what could the food look like? What could our food choices look like at night? Well, something that's easy to digest, something that's cooked, something that's liquid, something like soup, drinking lots of water. And since the body, since warmed food would take less energy to digest because it's already warm, think about warm, cooked, liquid food. So soup. Soup is so nourishing. And I do, when I have to eat late at night, if I've missed dinner because of chaos that happens sometimes, I'll just come home and I'll make a cup of some miso soup. And if I'm hungrier than that, I'll have some other soup. But it doesn't quite upset the body and the natural digestion as much as like a sandwich or a salad or something like that would. The next thing that I'd like to look at for changes that we can do at night in particular is with respect to light. And there was the study with the breast cancer and melatonin levels. Actually, I think there have been several studies with that. Looking at melatonin levels, and what can we do to help our melatonin levels when working night shift? There's not a lot, but I do know that the blue light that's emitted from the computer screens and fluorescent lights has been shown to be particularly harmful to the melatonin levels. So dimming the lights, is it possible to dim the lights on the unit? Is it possible to not use as many lights? I know sometimes on labor and delivery they turn off the main lights in the middle of the nurse's station and just use the under the cabinet lights and the peripheral lights. It's much more restful and relaxing, which isn't so great if you're trying to stay awake. But it might be really helpful to our bodies and our brains. The other thing is there's a program that you can get called Flux, and I actually did talk to Deb Ludington about it, and she seems very excited, and I haven't heard any more about it, but it's f.lux.com, and you can look it up even at your home computers and download it. I downloaded mine when I got my computer, almost a year ago, and it takes the screen and it makes it more yellow in the morning and in the evening, and then it's brighter at midday when the sun is the highest. For those people that are on the computer a lot, just helping the brain sort of have a more natural rhythm with the light level. there's so many things that I could talk about. I just love this stuff. But I think it's a good time to take questions. Does anyone have any questions? And if you do, you can push 5-star. Are there no questions? So tell me this, did you learn anything?
I like the soup idea. I didn't really know that. So eating warm foods, that's helpful to know.
And yeah, drinking warm water too.
And I like that we did this, that we have support and we, you know, can all kind of work together to find solutions for how to cope and deal with working at night.
Yeah. So talk to your colleagues and talk about getting support, sharing what you want. I'm going to send this talk to all of you, this recorded talk, and I'd love for you to share it with colleagues and see if there are people that want to get a group together, a supportive group. I know that there's someone who works with me at North Country who we started getting into this together, and it's so nice. We get excited, like, oh, you got to try this, taste this new recipe that I tried, and so she'll bring me some, and I tell her about this new exercise routine, and she tries it at home. It is so nice to feel supported because it is doing something different. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that I am offering a unique offering right now. I'm looking for 3 one-on-one clients to finish my coaching certification. And if you would like to set up a conversation, please email me at the email address that we've been corresponding with, and we can set up a time to have a 30-minute free strategy session. This is about $150 value. And we can talk and work on things that may be helpful for you, help you make some decisions. And, you know, you can decide whether you think one-on-one coaching could be helpful. And hopefully this summer I will start a group class for peer support in this. It's a 10-week class. And if there is a lot of interest now, there's a potential of doing it sooner. But I think I'm going to wait till the summer because of some other things, some other commitments that I have. So does anyone have any questions?
No. Thank you so much, Dr. Claxton.
You are so welcome. Yeah. I am so excited that you guys all showed up. It's really great. So pat yourselves on the back, too. And I want to hear how the changes are going. Please let me know.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I learned a lot from this.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good night, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks, Beth. That was well done.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.